want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. That promise given thousands of years ago by Moses to Joshua is for you and me today, and for all who are willing to follow the Lord. He will go before us. He will be with us. He has never once failed any of us or forsaken us, although there were times when we feared perhaps that he might. Do not be afraid or dismayed, he says to us. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my story today about a visit that my husband Lars Grin and I made to Ecuador last May. I told about visiting the Alca Indians, the people who had killed my husband Jim Elliot and four other men back in 1956. In 1958, I had gone in to live with the Alcas, along with Rachel Saint, the sister of the pilot who had also been killed, and my little daughter, Valerie, who was then 3 years old. And Valerie and I had lived with the Alcas for 2 years before going back to work again with the Quechuas. So that was an amazing experience to see some of those Alcas and to talk with them. But then the most poignant part of our trip to Ecuador was the visit to the house in Shandia, which Jim Elliot had built. When he and I were married, we were in a little place called Puyupungu for about 9 months, I guess. 5 of those months, we lived in a leaky tent, and 4 of those months, we lived in a palm-thatched house. And then we moved to Shandia, where Jim began the building of quite a civilized house, one with a concrete floor and concrete walls up to the windowsill level, boards from there on up, and an aluminum roof. We had probably the only stone fireplace in the whole eastern jungle of Ecuador. So Lars and I were driven to Shandia by a very kind missionary family, and I couldn't believe the fact that what used to be our airstrip was now a road. We slogged through the jungle in the mud up to the house, which has now become, shall we say, a shambles. It still stands. The walls and the roof and the floors are still there. The stone fireplace had been badly skewed, sort of knocked sideways, by an earthquake some years ago, but it's still standing. And there are Indians living in the house. These are people that I had known very well. So, of course, they welcomed us into the house, which now was filthy. All the built-in drawers had long since been discarded. The doors on the cabinets had been torn off. Many other things had disappeared, and all of the furniture was gone. Of course, this didn't bother the Indians in the least. They don't need furniture. They sit on the floor or on little stools that they make. But these were Christian Indians whom we had known, and again, we had to go through the death wail routine. I was hugged and wept on and cried about, and the death wail, which is something that the Indians normally do when they meet someone who has been bereaved, they carried on for quite a while, to Lars's astonishment. And then they began to tell me the history of everything that had happened since I had left that house in 1963. A long time had elapsed. It just seemed almost surreal to be in a place like that, a very dark jungle day, pouring rain, wind, the house a shambles, the Indians howling. And then to top it all off, as we were standing there and they were giving me account of everything that had happened, there suddenly was a scream, a blood-curdling scream, and a crash, and one of the women fell to the floor and was immediately leaped upon by 3 men. Of course, I had no idea what was happening. It turned out that she is an epileptic, and this was not a surprise to them. But someone explained to me that when she gets emotionally upset, this is what usually happens. So the three men just held her in order to keep her from thrashing and hurting herself. Then for a long time, I stood while they told me sad tales of feuds between the believers. Some of them had actually threatened the people who are living in our house with death threats because they said they had no business being there. It should have been ours. But there was one girl who told me that I had saved her life from a snake bite. I must confess I had no recollection of that. But I was thinking over how little I accomplished as a missionary. My memory is not very good anyway, but as I look back, I do have memories of failures. And the dark clouds and the rain and the state of the house just all combined to make me feel very sad. What had been a park, we had a beautiful lawn and pineapple plants and papaya trees and a gorgeous view of the Atunyaku, the big river that flows into the Amazon. What had been a park was now a jungle. And I had thoughts of what a poor missionary I had been. And I was overwhelmed with a longing to return and do it right. But we don't have that privilege, do we? And I think of an old gospel hymn, "The vain regrets of yesterday have vanished through God's pardoning grace. My guilty sins have passed away, and joy has come to take its place. My yesterdays, so dark with shame." Now, that's an exaggeration. I'm not saying that my missionary days were dark with shame, but God has redeemed many of my failures, I'm sure, and it was wonderful to hear the testimonies of people who had been blessed. Seeing the state of the house and the area around it, I thought of the hymn "Abide with Me" that has a stanza that says, "Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me." And that was my prayer. My greatest prayer was that the Lord would restore love between those Christians. We had a group of over 50 baptized believers, people who had been baptized by Jim just within the about a year and a half that he had lived there in Shandia. He and Pete Fleming, another one of the five men who had been killed, and Ed McCulley had all had a part in leading those Indians to the Lord and teaching them and baptizing them. And so many of them are still there, but as I mentioned, they don't exhibit the love, which is supposed to be the most visible sign of the reality of our Christian faith. You remember the words of Scripture that the non-believers will look at the believers and say, "Behold how they love one another." I don't think there are very many that would be able to say that today about the Indians who had claimed to be Christians. I was sorry about that. I think of Paul's prayer in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. And I would ask your prayers for the Indians of Shandia. That's spelled Shandia. And this is my prayer for them. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. There are times when we feel as though all our work has been in vain. And there are thousands of God's faithful servants who have felt that. And the Lord reminds us then that our labor in the Lord is never in vain. We are to stand firm, never be tired in the work of the Lord, because we know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain, regardless what the visible results may be. Janet Erskine Stewart has written some words which encourage me tremendously, using as her text the psalmist's words, They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. She says it is good that we should have to submit to what we do not understand. It teaches us the laws of faith and hope. It is good that we should have to do what we should rather not in circumstances not of our choice. It is good that there should be always something to prick us on, something to remind us that we are in an enemy's country. We belong to a marching column. It is good that every creature we lean upon should fail or disappoint us. It is good that we should meet with checks and failures in what we undertake to keep us humble and prayerful. All these things belong to sowing in tears. And then she adds this, God seems to have laid out the order of things in his church, not for a general and brilliant triumph, but for the hidden sanctification of the individual souls which compose it. I'll read that again. God seems to have laid out the order of things in his church, not for a general and brilliant triumph, but for the hidden sanctification of the individual souls which compose it. So would you pray for the individual sanctification of my Quechua friends in Shandia?
Anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.